Here we go. Tom and Curly Show, thanks everybody for tuning in. We certainly appreciate it. And you're going to write to us at FineNorthWest.com. You can text as well at 98973. You come in through the State Roofing text line, and all are welcome. The teeny tiny lady who lives in a pickle jar rolls in on the horseback, and or two horses bring her in. Sean will tell us more about the horses later on in the show, and you get a chance to be letter of the day. Great honor to all. And you also get a chance to, I'm going to simultaneously going to bring Hannah in and dive in because we've got so much to get into. Cacophony of noises. All right. Hannah, are you there? Hannah, have you woken up from your nap?
You know what? I barely did. I'm not going to lie. I barely did.
Okay, let's just be honest with... Hold on. Think about the three of us, is four or five, Sean included. Honesty is really the best policy. Yesterday, you seemed a little sleepy on the air.
No!
We catch you at... Really?
Okay. I remember distinctly, like, pushing back and yelling at you yesterday. I don't feel like I was sleepy.
You're in fine form.
I might have been sleepy on Friday. Ahead. That was the day I was just not going to answer and show up. But
All righty. Moving on. Here we go.
Yes. Oh, you want me to do something? Okay. you know what? I'm going to start somewhere. I'm going to start backwards because I'm not ready with the other one yet. I know you wanted to talk a little about the passport proposal that has landed in Olympia.
Yes.
The vaccination passport. This is actually something I saw from Representative Jim Walsh. I want to say he dropped it a week or so ago. And he was on with Dory Monson this afternoon to explain it. I'll let him say it.
What the bill does is it says that in the state of Washington, no public entity, no state agency, no local agency can require paperwork or a proof of a vaccination of COVID or any related virus for admission to any public space or any privately owned space that is open to the public.
So that's the idea, and he thinks it's really a carrot to try to get people reluctant. And to be clear, it hasn't been proposed, but he thinks it would be a carrot to try to get people who are reluctant to get the vaccine to change their mind.
We can't let fear or any emotion define our public policy and erode our foundational rights. I mean, this country was founded on the idea that reason and fundamental liberties are what should drive what a government does, and mostly limit what a government does. And we're losing that thread, and I'm hoping there is a silver lining to all this, that all of this overreaction, all of this erosion of rights is going to reawaken in people the understanding, the appreciation for the foundational rights that built this state and built this country. So I'm optimistic in the long run. It just may be some choppy flying between here and there.
So, and I might be sleeping today because that's the cut that goes into the next one. Here's what he said about the carrot. Go ahead, Jacob.
They're going to have to find a different carrot. This one won't work. The bill I put together, really, it was a bill I introduced kind of late in the session in Olympia. Didn't intend for it to become a big deal now. It was kind of laying the groundwork for what I hoped would be some hearings and a discussion later this year or even next year. But the timing just seems to be right because the discussion around this terrible idea has increased since I dropped this bill recently.
So, he did drop it very, very late in the session, and it's not anything related to the budget, so it's not likely it would have gotten a hearing anyway at this point in the session. But you saw what he said, and I've actually seen there's the Freedom Caucus, or I forget what they're called. Senator Fortunato and a couple of other Republicans who formed kind of their own little group during session, largely to call upon the governor to shut things down, to let the legislature make these types of decisions and things like that. Anyway, they had said the same thing. They were hearing rumblings, they said, about the possibility of passports. I think they're pointing more to what discussion that's happening on the national level. And I'm not sure if Jacob is ready. He is. So on Thursday last week, I actually asked Governor Inslee about this. Here's what he said.
We haven't given any serious consideration of that. I think over time you might see private entities airlines, others might, you know, might be adopting their own sort of requirements in their private businesses. That's something that is outside the can of government. So you may see that inquiry increasingly in your life, even if it's not a government activity. But we haven't given any serious consideration to that.
So he's not thinking about it. So he says, but you might want to mark that, Jacob, in case that changes later. We'll come back to it. Otherwise, you get it? No. anyway, yeah, he had been asked about it actually once prior to, and he had not had any really thing to say about that. And it's not a discussion I've heard anywhere in the state, really not on the private level yet either, except for a couple of workplaces.
It's a solution in search of a problem right now. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thoughts or I'll move on.
Well, there are other states. Hawaii is kicking that in. So officially gave the green light last Friday for a vaccine passport program to begin in Hawaii. Could roll out as early as May for inner island travel, expanding out-of-state travelers by the summer. So that is Hawaii, and you'll have a vaccine passport in that state. We'll have other states that will follow as well.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that Jim Walsh steps in and says, nope, we're not going to use that to force people to then create to certain behavior. So the state would need to be involved because the state would create the official license or the official passport that would then be available to get into the Seahawks game or to something else. So the state would have to be behind it in order
venues
to
venues are oh yeah because his bill covers venues. That's what his says that
right so that's you, a public yeah. venue right so mm-hmm. any place the public can go to. So thanks Jim Walsh on that one. Hey, how about Washington
no
following along with everybody else when it comes to closing down on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? I think Washington also stepped in and no more administering of those for a while.
Yeah, we hit the pause button, definitely. This actually, for fairly quick succession, it was pretty early this morning. I don't know, maybe 9 or so that they put out the release that they were going to push the pause on using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Of course, early this morning, we got the word from the national level that they were going to do that. And that's because 6 people who had had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine had a very rare reaction that in the form of a blood clot. I think one person had died. So here's
one in critical.
Yeah. So it's very, very rare, they said, but it is enough that they wanted to be cautious about it. And the State Department of Health, Secretary of Health for the state, Omar Shah, spoke about it today.
But people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine over the last 2 to 3 weeks and who develop severe headache or abdominal pain, leg pain, or shortness of breath within those 3 weeks after vaccination should absolutely contact their healthcare provider.
That's really the overall message. Again, they hit later on that it was very rare.
Horrible, horrible, horrible move. Awful.
Because,
by the way, the FDA, is supposed to go through the Senate or through the president, not just making these decisions on their own. The FDA works for our elected officials. And to do this, you're setting this thing back even further. And then to have Fauci come out and say, we are ruled by the science and not any other consideration. There's no science in this. Here's the science. 6 out of 7 million. That's the science. What you follow then is a series of, well, you balance between do you do this, you don't do this, what are we looking into to stop it all together, and you're going to set back more people for vaccinations because you stop 6 out of 7 million. So it's not science. It would be like saying science determines what the speed limit should be. Fauci and the science thing, you've made a major mistake by stopping this when you have 6 out of 7 million people. But they shoot themselves in the foot over and over again.
I think I heard right at the top of the hour, all 50 states have followed this. This is just a guideline. This is not an order. It's up to the individual states. All 50 states, if that's really true, if I heard that correct, that means red state governors, blue state governors, everyone's taking this seriously. It's only a delay. It's a delay for a few days so they can get their ducks in a row to find out, do these six women have anything in common? Could we figure out if they come from a subgroup that we say, listen, if you are a woman of a certain age or of a certain, you know, background or you have this kind of a, you know, blood count or this, you shouldn't take this particular. It makes perfect sense. And I think it's more reassuring. The bad news is if people could say, oh, my God, it killed this person. I'm not going to take it. But if you're very upfront about it and say, yes, indeed, six people have come down with it. One has died. One's in critical. We're going to figure out why. We're going to see if there's a causal connection or if it's just it's an accidental, appearance at the same time as the shot. I think 2 or 3 day delay, which is what they're suggesting, is actually good science, John.
Six out of 7 million.
Yes.
I think...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's what I would say. I think that what you're going to see because of this is there's already people who don't trust the vaccine process, who are hesitant or on the fence. This is going to make them go on that absolutely not fence. I'm not getting a vaccine. Yeah. As far as our state, just so you know, the implication for us, we were already in trouble as far as getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Our 3 weeks, we were supposed to get, I think, on the week of the 11th, that's this week, right? Yeah, that was this week. We were getting 13,000 doses, so those won't go out this week to anyone. But the next 2 weeks after, we were only getting 4,300 because we'd already had our supply of Johnson & Johnson vaccine dramatically cut because of that recipe disaster at Baltimore, right? So like we were already not getting much.
Yeah, like most states. Okay. Yeah. So, Hannah, do you think that to me is an interesting public health issue? Is it more dangerous to acknowledge that six people have gotten sick because you don't want to discourage people from getting the vaccine? I think the more knowledge, maybe the better. And if we know that, you can take that calculated risk. It's one in every. It's literally one in a million shots. Well worth the risk.
And, you know, we are literally, all of the health officials will tell you, we are literally in a race against the variants, right, in this country. And they want to get everybody vaccinated. So, it's the needs of the, I mean, I don't know. This is why I'm not in charge of these things, I think.
Yeah.
Because that's the big push. So for them to stop it for six people, I think that while this is rare, there's got to be something to it. In order to do that, because if they were sure it was just going to be those six people, maybe they don't do that.
And the weird thing is AstraZeneca, which hasn't been approved in this country, had the exact same problem.
Mm-hmm.
The blood clots were the things that, you know, are why we haven't given approval now. So there's something about whatever they're doing with the immune system that's kicking in that's affecting certain people. And I just as soon, you know, focus on, you know, try to figure that out and let the... Pfizer and Moderna sort of take the lead as they have been for this entire time for another week or so.
And I think, I think if you're somebody waiting for your vaccine, I think you should be to some degree at ease a little bit that they're at least taking this extra time to do that. It's not going to make a significant difference in the number of vaccines available in our state. It is going to be tight, though, because on what day is the 13th? On the 15th, the vaccine is open to everybody in the state, 16 and older. At this moment, anyway, that's the plan. And you're going to have a lot of people looking for vaccine, and we'll just have fewer. Already people aren't getting it that want it.
So, John, I know you wanted the Johnson & Johnson. Will you go ahead and get that, though? I mean, I assume it'll be like a week delay.
I'd get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I wanted to get that because it's a one-shot deal.
Yeah, it's more convenient.
What I'd heard from most people is that you can feel pretty sick after the Moderna one or the Pfizer, which is a two-shot. So I was shopping for the J&J. I'd run the risk. I think the majority are women, six out of 7 million.
Yeah,
I think
all of
one,
them.
I think a
all
man,
women.
All of them. Yeah, I saw one guy in New Jersey, 52 years old, but I don't know if it's the same case. So in this case, now these women are men identifying as women, or these are biological women?
Oh, I know that's I don't know.
Their ages 14 to 48, though, so they're not the elderly. That's another concerning issue.
14-year-old shouldn't even have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Only the Pfizer vaccine is for those people, for young people.
Well, yeah, anyway. I would still get in. So I sign up in Yakima Sunday morning at 9:30. I'll be there. I'll be signing autographs. Come on in, everybody.
They're not going to give it to you.
Why not?
Because all of the Johnson & Johnson appointments have been canceled. They were canceled before the announcement this morning.
Well, when I signed up for Kroger, they didn't tell me which one I'm getting. I just got the thing telling me to be there at 9:15.
Oh,
and I'm going to be signing needles and syringes. I got Monajet and Beck & Dickinson needles and syringes. I'll be signing those and giving those out as well. And I have all the Sharps containers. I'll be signing those and see everybody out at the Yakima Kroger.
Is that an official Cairo
Sunday
radio event?
I was at
Sunday at 9:15. Yes,
Yakima Rite Aid. I'd highly recommend. That's where I got my shot. If you'd rather.
Excellent.
By the way, it's the women between ages of 18 and 48.
18. Okay, good. 18, I was concerned about that.
That
14-year-old.
Yeah, good. Good catch.
Round the horn. Hold on. Round the horn. Hannah, would you not get it now? The Johnson & Johnson. Yes or no?
I will tell you what I tell everyone else who asks me about the vaccine. It's none of your business. I have no plans to tell anyone what I will do with whether I get vaccinated or not.
Ooh, snippy.
Why don't you take a nap, girl?
I'm just not
talking about it. Why don't you
take a nap? I'm grouchy the other
day. Back to sleep. All right, there she goes. She's out. Hey, we're getting to Tracy Taylor early. There you go, Tracy. You got extra time to talk about extra bad traffic. All right, so you'll know more because of Cairo 7 TV. So if you're going to be taking an exam, sit beside them. Right? Keep your eyes to yourself, pens and paper down, or something like that anyway.
Or number crib off that.
Oh, that's Rachel Bell. What's oh, hey, Art Bell, how are
me.
You? Welcome. Did you
good.
Mention Muckleshoot Casino and the great place to go there and have a wonderful time and a great meal? I know you talk about, you rave about it all the time. I just thought I'd mention Muckleshoot Casino. It just happens to be the biggest and best.
They've
in the Northwest.
Got burgers. They've got pizzas. They've got your food.
They've
who
got
could
chicken.
Ask for anything more?
More.
They've got roast beef. They've got pasta and a big parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote that song for Muckleshoot Casino. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say that I am so proud of myself because during today when I was writing my story, I spelled entrepreneur correctly every single time. It's one of the hard words that I have memorized, and I want to brag about it. Every E and U in the right place, so satisfying. So I interviewed Mark Randolph. He is the co-founder of Netflix, and he was Netflix's first CEO. That was actually his fifth startup. He's a serial entrepreneur. And throughout his long, successful, self-made career, he always hears the same phrase.
I have heard that will never work so many times from every company I've done. I heard it for Netflix, heard it from the investors, heard it from my wife. It's a phrase that of certainly every single person hears who ever has an idea, where you get all excited and you come running out of the kitchen and you tell your spouse or you tell your boss, and they all say, that'll never work.
So that's the name of his new podcast. It's called That Will Never Work. And he advises budding entrepreneurs since he has started so many companies. And he says that he has an addiction to starting companies that he's not allowed to open anymore. So instead, he gets his fix by mentoring people. So he talks about some of the things that the common problems that people have. And the biggest problem is not starting, not doing anything with your idea.
They go, I have this great idea and I'm going to start as soon as. And as soon as I hear that, my eyes roll back. I've heard them all. You know, as soon as I graduate, as soon as I raise some money, is blah, 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 blah. You're doomed. The best time is absolutely now.
Okay, so something that I've been thinking about for a couple years is, do entrepreneurs have a different brain than I have? Because these people are, you know, more likely to take a risk. They'll put their life savings into this idea that could completely crash. They have all this confidence, whereas I'm a scared little baby who loves my insurance and is like, I don't know, I don't think. And so I never do anything with my ideas. So he said it is learned. It's not something you're born with and you have to practice. So what happens to me when I think of an idea is I get intimidated because it's such a big idea that I don't do anything with it. But he says you just have to start small, that there's this myth that you need to have investors at the beginning, that you need to have millions of dollars or a business degree, or you have to get on Shark Tank. He said, you know, just try something on the side. Don't quit your job and see if it works. And his concept is that every first idea is a bad idea. He thinks that there's no such thing as a good idea. It took a year and a half from the idea of Netflix coming to him to actually making it happen.
To be an entrepreneur, to overcome the that will never work chorus, you do have to have this tremendous self-confidence. But You have to pair it with the realization that you don't know everything, that in fact, other people's viewpoints might in fact be valid. I prefer working with women entrepreneurs, to be honest. I've found that women are much more willing to do the latter, and that too many men are headstrong, bullish. Their way is the right way. It's the only way.
I just continue to be fascinated with this because I do believe that entrepreneurs have a different brain. I understand that you can learn these things, but my brain, I only like to do things that I'm good at, which means I don't end up doing 99% of things. And I have a really hard time, you know, oh, I'm going to tweak this. This didn't work. Let's keep trying. Let's make it work. I'll just abandon something. How about you guys? How do you think? Do you have entrepreneurial minds?
I think of John as an entrepreneur. John, how about you? You've had so many different kinds of jobs.
First of all, I'm so offended. Rachel and I were on the phone for like an hour 2 months ago, and I said, Arbel, it's a great idea.
You gave me really good advice.
Go small. I said, go small. Keep everything. Keep the main anchor thing, but just keep... get your toes in there. Start learning. People will love it. Your passion will drive it. And where are? What do you mean you're getting turned into a baby on the thing? You have the time. You can make that work. Your idea, I think, could evolve into something. What? Why
Thank
aren't
you,
you moving?
I thought you were going to say you're mad that I hear mad that I'm crediting all of that to Mark Randolph.
No. Move on that idea.
You're right. Here's the thing is that in our culture, there is this big push right now for the side hustle, and there has been for years. And I think the truth for me is that I just don't want to work that hard. I don't want to work during the week and then do another job on the weekend and hope maybe this will become something. The weekend is when I want to do my hobbies and hang out and have fun and do the things I love. And, you know, America is a culture of, you know, nose to the grindstone, which you are really in sync with because you don't care about vacations or anything.
No. Okay. Then don't do it because most people that have that side hustle, it ends up going, it takes up all their time and then it evolves into something else. They're working on it at night and during the weekends. But if you're not motivated by it, you have to be motivated by wanting to solve the problem or motivated by wanting to have freedom. Something has to really be that thing, that catalyst underneath you that makes you, you know, birth this new idea. But if you're not willing to work on it, then it'll fail. So don't.
Well, you said birth, and I think even my entrepreneurial womb is whizzing.
But what is the satisfaction? What I don't understand about an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur somebody who is passionate about a particular thing and wants to introduce it into the world to make the world a better place? Or is he more like your guy who does all these startups? He wants to figure out a way to do something to make money that hasn't been, you know, done in the world before. And then he moves on to something else. Cause to me that there's no appeal in just being successful. There's no appeal in just making money. Wow. I invented this machine that now, you know, makes me X amount of money a year. Now I'm going to invent a different kind of machine. If it's not out of my own passion for something, I wouldn't be interested. Can he sort of pinpoint what it is about his entrepreneurial efforts that make him satisfied?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he loves solving problems. So I'm sure the money is a great, you know, side effect of this. But the reason, because he left Netflix 20 years ago. He left Netflix in, or almost, like 2003. So he didn't even stick around because at that point it was boring to him and he wanted to do something else. So for him, he says he comes up with an idea every day. Like he'll see something because his mind is trained that way, he'll say, why is that working that way? Oh, there has to be a better way. Oh, you could do it this way. He likes to improve, solve a problem, then move on. Because then the maintenance is not interesting to him. He likes the beginning.
Yeah,
that's what I'm doing right now. I've hired three people, and I told them, I don't need to hear from you every day. You all work it out, and then once a month, bring me up to date on where we are and if we need more money. But this is ultimately where I want to see this project go. And I'm on fire with it, and I can't wait to see what happens. But I've got this one person in charge, and once a month, they call me up, and we get on the phone and walk me through where we are, and then I feed them some more money. But I can't wait to have this thing go to market.
But is the satisfaction, John, coming from the idea that you came up with an idea nobody else had, or is it something about the product that you're producing?
No, like coming up with the idea, seeing the problem, seeing the problem, seeing, uh-huh. oh, that, you know what, that's actually a problem. That could be solved. My dad did the same thing. He invented a machine which allowed you to do your easy, he called it touch easy tax. And it was like seven steps for filling out a W-2, really simple thing. Had the machine built, put it into churches, put it into malls, put it into supermarkets. And I'm like, Dad, I got bad news for you. What? I said, there's this thing called TurboTax. That'll never work. And he had put all this money into it. And then it just, that you just got the wave of technology just jumped right over him and his kiosk. But he had the thing. He had it. He was ready. He was always coming up with crazy ideas. Rachel, again, you have to, you got to dig in, get past that fear and enjoy the freedom of your idea, because it could work. I'm going to leave it that.
I don't know if I'll have another good idea, because my first idea, I invented the Post-it, and that was a huge success. So I should just stop on
no.
that.
You should. Well, you don't come up in different colors, different colored Post-its. All right.
Okay. Deal.
All right. There she goes. All right. Off and running. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. Auto Service Center's Buckeyes. Buckeyes. 16 locations, 51 years. It's Buckeyes. Auto Service Center's is Buckeyes. Buckeyes. That's the best I have.
John, we're on the air.
Oh, Bucky's Auto Service Center. You got 16 locations. Been around for 51 years. It's Bucky's. There we go. I was just watching a funny thing, Tom, not to get into musical theater, but it was Co-op, which is a comedy documentary sort of takeoff on Company. A friend of mine sent it to me. Hilarious. Huh. Highly recommend it. Just for you and me. Musical theater. Yeah. YouTube. Sharing something with you.
Here Co-op. YouTube. Got it.
It's a takeoff on Company. The Oscars are coming. Nobody seems to care because, well, one, nobody went to movies because of the government lockdowns. Plus, most people don't care about Oscars anymore because most of the movies that are nominated, most people don't see. It feels sort of art house sort of style of movies. And this is, as the Oscars become more and more woke and Hollywood becomes more and more the narrow and narrow niche of people that will go to the movies. So how do you get people to watch, Tom? What are they going to do?
So, well, this year especially, we're still living under some pandemic restrictions. So they are going, they've hired among the producers, Steven Soderbergh. Steven Soderbergh is an Oscar-winning director, a great director, who kind of, you know, has retired, even though he's not nearly old enough to retire, retired from making too many movies. And he's decided that he's going to try to make this Oscar presentation feel like a movie. Now, this has got everybody intrigued, and I'm willing to accept the fact that this is just all marketing, that you get a real-time director and have him make a pitch, and then everyone will turn in. Well, how is it going to be like a movie? He claims that we are going to end up, if you think of all the stars, the winners and the nominees, but also the presenters, as characters in a film, you're going to have, by the end of the 3 hours, he says, you're going to have this connection to everyone in the show. It's going to feel like a three-hour movie with some awards thrown in. So here's my hunch. My guess is he may zero in on, like, behind-the-scenes shots or interviewing some of the people involved. So instead of just another, you know, pretty face and a beautiful gown and whatever, you might have a better sense of who these people are when they come out and present, rather than having big dance numbers and all that. But that is a complete, you know, guess. I really have no idea how it's going to be pulled off.
You want to hear the ad for it? Here comes the commercial.
Yes, okay.
In a world filled with award shows, what if an award show was actually a movie? Which stars would you cast? Regina King, Brad Pitt, Reese Witherspoon, Don Cheadle, Rita Moreno, Harrison Ford, Bryan Cranston, Marley Matlin, Angela Bassett, Bong Joon-ho, Laura Dern, Renee Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix, Halle Berry, Zendaya? Well, that's who we cast. The Oscars. Live, April 25th on ABC.
Now, interestingly, none of those people are nominated. They were the winners from last year that are probably going to be there to present. And John, you definitely are right. There's less and less interest in the Oscars because nothing can compete with the way Oscars were 40, 50 years ago when everybody and his mother watched it on a single network TV. The one argument I would make that there might be some more interest is that since most of the movies didn't stream in theaters, they streamed, on your streaming, your cable, and most people watch their things at home. A lot of people get Netflix, so they may have seen Trial of Chicago 7 and things like Mank, and a lot of these things have been available. So maybe more people will have seen these movies than normal because you didn't have to go into a movie theater to see them. But it's still not going to, it's a precipitous drop with all live stuff. Even the Super Bowl, I think, is starting to dip. So, yeah, it has a limited shelf life.
Yes, it does. It was the lowest it had been, I think, 23% of the audience watching for it. But the other thing is that the movies, people, the academies don't nominate the big movies that everybody watches. They're nominating small movies, these promising young women and Judas and the Black Messiah, right? And movies
that, Nomadland.
More smaller, nothing big, no big box office stuff. They don't do
that. Well, interestingly, but in this particular year, though, John, none of the big box office movies opened. So this is the one year I think Oscar is safe to say, okay, yeah, there were no Avengers movies that were, ignoring because they were held. James Bond wasn't released this year. Believe me, if James Bond had been released, they'd do a big number on the movie, even if it wasn't successful, just because it's James Bond, so... Yeah, this is a movie where it was mostly done streaming. It should be the streaming Oscars.
Okay, well, we'll see if it works out as a movie. As
April 25th. I'm sure you'll be tuned in on your non-TV.
Tracy Taylor.